You're listening to Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph, your host. I'm producing this program from Mexico City. And on the broadcast today, I am going to be featuring a conversation with Jamal Juma, who is deeply involved in a Palestinian organization called Stop the Wall Campaign that is live at stopthewall.org. And this is an organization that has been campaigning for years against the Israeli government's separation wall, as it's called, in the West Bank, and which Palestinian and human rights organizations around the world have called the apartheid wall. This is important to consider today because there was actually an International Court of Justice ruling against this wall. And it is important to consider in light of the International Criminal Court case against the Israeli state in relation to genocidal acts being carried out against the Palestinian people of Gaza. Jamal is based in the occupied West Bank and does really important work supporting local protests over years against the construction of the apartheid wall, and today has been involved in doing work to support Palestinian communities who are being threatened by Israeli state-backed settlers and colonies. And this is particularly within Area C of the West Bank, as it's called under Oslo agreements. And we're seeing a massive expansion of Israeli settlement activity in those regions. So for all these reasons, I wanted to speak with Jamal. And so here's our conversation for Free City Radio.
My name is Jamal Juma. I am the coordinator of the Stop the Wall campaign, which is the Palestinian grassroots movement against the wall and the settlements. Apartheid wall and the settlements. 2004, I would say that was like a very, very important junction, I would say, for building the wall. And that came up after like any massacres that they have been committing in the Palestinian occupied West Bank, especially in Jenin and the main cities as well. And this is, in fact, also in what Israel was doing that time. It is just like totally, as we understand it, a kind of announcement that Oslo is finished and Israel is now from one side opposing their vision on the future of the Palestinian people, how it will looks like, which is clearly an apartheid colonial system. It was very, very important, like in the ICJ ruling for this. We were really nervous when we were waiting for the decision to come out, because for us, yani, the court must say that this is illegal. What Israel is doing is illegal. It has been like, in fact, in spite of our worries, like, but yeah, it was a great opinion that has been out from the court that say that this will is illegal. And Israel must destroy the parts that they built. And also urging the international community not to help, but also, you know, must stop what Israel is doing. Anyway, unfortunately, like, they didn't being followed how it should be, this ruling. They didn't get back to the United Nations, to the Security Council, to put it into implementation. And this is honestly, like, this is a kind of a mistake. And obeying the pressure from the Palestinian Authority to the Americans particularly, and Europeans, for promises that, like, doesn't happen, as usual. But on the people level, on the movements, I think it was, yani, for us, the backbone for starting the BDS movement around the world. And in 2004, in July 9th, in 2004, the opinion has been issued. We start immediately within the Palestinian society an intensive debates, discussions, how we can form the call for the BDS movement. And we launched the call in 2005. And BDS movement became the main Palestinian, let's say, campaign around the world that, like, really had its, like, very deep influence into changing the narrative around the world and open the eye of the world for what the Palestinian cause is about. So that's very important. And until now, we can say that one of the most effective movements in the Palestinian struggle now is the BDS movement. That's what we are really proud of, and proud of all these people around the world, those people of conscience, that they have been joining the BDS movement, that they are really, we saw the hope for our future, our liberation as a people is one of our big hopes in this movement around the world, with people that they are, that became, understand what the reality of the Palestinian struggle about, which is against colonialism, racism, and then apartheid, which has became, today has become more obvious than any time before, especially after the main human rights organizations around the world, like we could talk about Amnesty, Human Rights Watch, and also B'Tselem as an Israeli human rights organization, clearly with very intensive documented report that Israel is an apartheid state. And what they are doing is an apartheid, and this is illegal, and this must stop. So nowadays, we live almost the same feelings when we were waiting for the ICJ again to rule for, even I would say this is a much more important moment. Because all what we hope as a Palestinians, and we are really don't sleep, thinking what will come out, because our hope is to stop this genocide. What's going in Gaza is horrible. Even in the Second World War, then the First World War, didn't something like this didn't happen. And that's what do the, what they call the free world, Europe, the states, I'm talking about the establishment, the states, don't want to recognize, opposite than the people became like a huge awakeness around the world for the people. This millions demonstrations with millions of people in the streets in Europe, in the states as well. The states is amazing. United States shocking us, the solidarity movement has been advanced, and what they are doing on a daily basis in the United States. This is amazing. That's what we were. It wasn't in our dreams even to see the people in the streets like this, and to see what's most important for us is the people wake up. There is an opening eye for the people on the reality, on what's going on, even not just on Israel, but also on their establishment, on their states itself, and where it's standing with all what they were selling them all around the history, their societies, they are the free world, they are the one who's leading the democracy, the human rights, etc., etc. But this has been proving that's no, not at all. And it became much more obvious than any time before. Maybe in the South we know that, but at least for the people of the North, particularly in Europe and the states, that wasn't really clear like it is nowadays. This is one of the things that when we look at the situation now, how it is really, really horrific. And it just reminds us of the Nakba. And it is most of the Palestinians saying that, no, this is worse than the Nakba. But this part is the lighting part in the middle of all this. That now we can say that, all around the world, Israel became an isolated, it's a pariah state. It's became an, clearly, it's a criminal state that committing genocide. And which is shocking too many people around the world, particularly in Europe, they were supporting the state as it is these people that they were suffering from a genocide and Holocaust, and now they are standing in front of the ICJ for the same accusation that happened to them almost 75 or more years ago. It's important, it's important junction, where the people have to start realize and understand that Zionism as a racist colonial ideology, it's not Judaism. And what's proved this, to be honest, when you look at who's leading and who's going in the state, who's the most angry in the United States, which is they are the Jews, mainly. The new generation, those who was survivors of the Holocaust, they are now standing up, shocked, what's going on? Is this our people? Is this the Judaism? Is the Jews? This is... So it's important. It's important. Things became much more clear. So many masks have been fallen down. Zionism is not Judaism. And we must differentiate. The conflict, if it is the conflict, it's not conflict. The war on the people in Palestine and the whole Middle East, it's not religious. It is colonial. It is totally colonial. And Israel is a settler colonial state that they are committing since 1948, like all this genocide and ethnic cleansing to keep the domination and to uproot and to this indigenous people, to replace them and totally to grave their cause at all.
So, Jamal, on the ground in the West Bank for many years now, going back to this court decision in 2004, there's popular organizing that happens. So there's a lot of protests in small towns, in villages, people who were taking the streets, protesting, even in olive fields, olive tree fields, against this wall. You were involved in this whole process to try to translate and communicate what was happening on this very local level internationally, which is very complicated and difficult, and also like a process that has many, many layers. Can you talk a bit about the Stop the Wall campaign and why you felt it was important to try to translate this very local manifestation of resistance to the wall internationally? That's not like an obvious process. It's, you know, a lot of the villagers, you know, are quite isolated, you know, the villages that were affected by the wall. And, you know, there's a lot of barriers in terms of economics, colonialism, language, class. You succeeded in translating a lot of these struggles globally, and it's quite amazing. So I'd like to hear a bit more about this process.
Yeah, you know, when the campaign started, like in, or this movement started in 2002, you know that this started in the middle of the one of the bloody wars that has been launched on the Palestinian people. And as I spoke in the beginning, like that was mainly the main aim of this, like any massive invasion to the West Bank, and it's the destroying the Palestinian movements and the resistance and society to enable them to build this new huge project, the big advance of this colonial project in the West Bank, which is the wall that, like, in a way, shape their colonial project and the future of the Palestinians. Unfortunately, yani, all this, what was we suffering as a Palestinians, but like after September 11th, from 2001, the Israeli government and the United States, they were able to label us and our resistance as a Palestinians as a terrorism. It became really very difficult. You are here massacred, like in the cities, in the refugee camps. The tanks is like in every city. They are bombing the Palestinian organizations with the fighter jets. At the same time, everybody talked that the Palestinians are terrorists. Like, so this is something you can't understand. So when they start building the wall, like, the challenge was like, how we can present this to the world and how we can change this narrative and this propaganda that Israel is trying to make the world adapt about the Palestinians. So when we start organizing the demonstrations in the West Bank, in Jenin, in Tul Karim, and in the in Qalqilia, that was under siege. Still, the whole areas was under siege. Movement between cities was very, very difficult. To move from Ramallah to Qalqilia, for example, which is like normally less than 1 hour, it used to take us 6 hours to arrive to go there. And the most challenging issue, to be honest, is how you can organize like any demonstrations, popular demonstrations, peaceful demonstrations to the sites where they are destroying the land of the people, and at the same time the bloodshed in the streets. And it's militant confrontations. I think that's what we succeed in from the beginning, to organize these demonstrations, and the people know how to do it by marching to the sites peacefully, without using any arms, like any. But not because we told them not to do that, but our people have like any this experience and aware about our struggle and what kind of struggle we have to do against each of what the Israeli occupation is doing. So we organized thousands of demonstrations since then. Never a bullet has been shot in any of these demonstrations because people understand this. And I think we succeed in a way, and ICJ was part of the result of our movement on the ground, the work that we were doing, the demonstrations, the media work that we are doing, publicizing what's going on in the ground, hundreds, if not thousands, of people that come from around the world to join us in the struggle and staying here in Palestine, going back. So it was ruling, became a big shift in a way, or starting to have a shift when the people started to realize people come here and go back, understand better what's going on when they join us 3 months or whatever time they spend here, and they understand clearly what's going on the ground here. And also our speaking tours around the world, the solidarity movements started to reshape back again to be much more reactivated, in fact, much better. And I remember the issue of the wall was the main issue where the solidarity groups start taking up, and especially after the ICJ, that became the backbone for the activism around the world for solidarity with Palestine. That, as I said, result in the BDS movement. So it has been, in fact, the work that we were doing is not just about to do the demonstrations around the world, but also within the Palestinian people, is to organize these communities that have been affected badly by the war. It's about how we can reorganize the youth, and we give them the possibility to lead their issues there. The women, by the way, I was really shocked that time that the number of the women that has been participating in the demonstrations, that they became lately after it has been finished, the demonstration against the wall, it has been reflected into a kind of a women movement, there, which is that's what we really, really, really are happy about it as an achievement. Later on, when the wall became they finished most of the wall, and the next step after that, which they started in confiscation, the Palestinian land, settlements expansion, and the settlers' terrorism that they started in those lands. So most of our work has been shifted to support the resilience of the people on the ground in Area C, particularly between communities in all these areas that's next to the settlements, that they have also daily attacks by the settlers there. So most of our work until now is focused there. And lately, before the 7th of October, in the last year and the year, half a year before, in 2002, we start focus strongly on the Masafer Yatta as a huge area that Israel officially did through their what's so called high justice court. The issue that all these people in these areas they must leave. And they give their army the free hand to do whatever there. And they block it and they declare it as a military zone. And they want to evacuate almost more than 12 locations out of 29 there. And they start in the first stage. So we focus our work on how we can make the people steadfast there, not leaving there. So even we get with very incredible ideas there, where we start renovating the caves. There's so many caves in the area there. Okay, they want to destroy their tents and their shelters and their small structures for the sheep. No, the people can go back to the ground, inside the ground, inside the earth, in these caves. So this is and we did so many caves, renovate them and rehabilitate them until the war started and we can't go there anymore. They have been using what's happening in Gaza. They're genociding Gaza, where the whole attention is going in Gaza, and they start massive ethnic cleansing in the West Bank. In the last 3 months, there's 16 Palestinian communities has been totally evacuated by the settlers. The settlers go with their guns there by force, backed up by the soldiers, and they destroy the people communities and they push them out from their land, and it became a big issue now here. This is one of the things that we are suffering from now, other than the invasions daily that has been to the Palestinian cities and villages and to refugee camps, trying to destroy the resistance, because they, under the emergency law that they started applying, so they give them all the green light to do what they want. They can shoot you in the street without any hesitant, and that's what's happening. We are talking about 382 Palestinians has been killed since the 7th of October. Most of them, like as youngsters and so many of them as children, assassinated, shot in the streets without any reasons. Like, and they start assassinate also by the drones, assassinate the people in the refugee camps, and they destroy the way that they are doing in Gaza with the bulldozers getting into the camps, into the West Bank, like Jenin refugee camps, Nur Shams, Tul Karim, Al-Far'a, and also in Jericho, Aqba Jabr, they were bulldozing all the infrastructure, the streets, the water, the electricity, houses. They make it like in a kind of a destroyed area.
You mentioned the region Masafer Yatta. I just want for people who are listening, if they want to get more information, there is statements and information on your website, stopthewall.org. So thank you for highlighting that. Maybe we could just get a bit more into, you termed ethnic cleansing in the West Bank. This has been focused on internationally. Right now, there's a lot of headlines on Gaza, but maybe we could just end by expanding on what you were just talking about before, about how what is happening in Gaza is also connected to and is a cover for this settlement colonial expansion in the West Bank that's happening right now in 2024.
Yes, if people remember, if they were following what's going on here, they would know that, like in the last 2 years, and before the 7th of October, we West Bank was under heavy attack. Attack by the Israeli government, by the settlers, by all the Israeli establishment, in fact. And this comes honestly as in a very sophisticated plan that they are working on as a government, which is the annexation plan of the West Bank. And this is part of what Trump, when Trump came to the power in the States and they start what's so-called the deal of the century. And in 2020, they launched the annexation map. And this annexation map to annex Area C. And we remember what Trump were doing when he recognized Jerusalem as a capital, recognized that the colonial project in the West Bank is a housing project and it's legal. He recognized the sovereignty of Israel over the Golan Heights. He totally break the whole international law. He tried to liquidate Palestine issue. And it started, in fact, at that time, the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian villages based on this map that they had been launching. So they start in 2021. In 21, they start like with the north of the Jordan Valley in a big community, one of the biggest community in the Jordan Valley, called Hamsa, where they totally like and destroyed the entire community. We tried to rebuild it 7 times, staying there with the people like in weather like this. Even it's like very rainy but we didn't succeed. They declared it at the end as a military zone, and there in the presence of the military. 24 hours, they became very brutal with the people, with the activists. So at the end, they totally destroyed the community. And they start partially destruction of other communities, sieging the whole agricultural and grazing areas for the Bedouins there. They start also, one of the most really dangerous steps that they start is the pastoral settlements. And this is something new, but it's the most dangerous. And the purpose of these pastoral settlements or colonies is the evacuation, is the expulsion of the Palestinian communities. What's this pastoral colonies? It's like 2, 3, 4 settlers. They give them like any cattle, and they station them next to a Palestinian agriculture or Bedouin community. And they start closing the areas there. They didn't allow the Palestinian sheep to go out to that area to graze. They started grazing in the Palestinian fields and cultivated areas, and they start attack on the community to push the people out. And this is totally supported and protected and accompanied by the Israeli military. And this came also with this fascist government settlers that, like Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, who they are leading this terrorist settlers groups in the West Bank. They are now the one who's in the government with Netanyahu. So they became backing and accelerating this plan. So now we are talking about over 102 pastoral colony. What does this mean? This is 102 Palestinian community is under threat or on the process of the expulsion. In this last 3 months, in the, after the 9th of 7th of October, what they did in the West Bank? First of all, they declare Area C as a military zone. 62% of the Palestinian occupied areas in West Bank, they declare it as a military zone. So nobody can, that makes it difficult, very difficult for us to communicate and to move there. And they activate these gangs of settlers in attack on the Palestinian communities. And the community is saying, like, and when we talk to them, before that, we used to fight them with hands, even, when they come to our communities. Now they are waiting for us to do any move. They're pointing the guns on our heads, and they are waiting for you to raise your hand for any reason, to kill you. So it is they were able by this, they started destroying the Palestinians, the settlers. It's not the government, like any, but it is backed by the soldiers. This is the ironic. So they start destroying the Palestinian properties. They start also stealing the Palestinian sheep in totally a very disgusting way. Like any day, the settler came to the Palestinian Bedouin community and start taking photos to the Palestinian sheep. And he called the Israeli police. He told them, "I find my sheep that has been stolen. So please bring me trucks." And they bring the trucks and they take the Palestinian farmers, the Palestinian shepherds' sheep. And once, like, one of these farmers, he asked the officer there. He told him, "Are you really believe that this is the settler's sheep?" He told him, "No, I know it's yours." He told him, "Then why you are doing this?" He told him, "No, because this is an order from the above, means from the government. Me means it's a policy." So they use these settlers, these fanatic racist criminal groups, like the 48. They use them like to terrify and to attack and to kill Palestinians, to terrify them, to push them to leave from there, and thinking that this is like didn't leave any consequences on the Israeli government and establishment. But truly, this is like an gangs that has been supported by the Israeli government, that they are doing this dirty work that they are doing here in the West Bank. More than that, not just this is for the Bedouin communities, but more than that, for the other Palestinian villages as well. The villages also, this year, 70% of our products from the olive oil, the olive didn't able the people to harvest it. Because of they closed all the agriculture road, settlers is everywhere with their guns, shooting at the Palestinian people. They killed Palestinian farmers when they go there, and they themselves steal the product of the Palestinians. And this is applied to different other things also. If you have a farm there, they will come and destroy it, they will steal it. They take over like the Palestinian water resources. So there is a war also launched in the West Bank. And this is like in the shadow of what the genocide that's happening in Gaza as well.
That was a conversation with Jamal Juma of Stop the Wall Campaign in Palestine. You can find more information about their important work at stopthewall.org. I'm Stefan Christoph. This has been another edition of Free City Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We air weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CGLO 1690 a.m., also in Geogeague, Montreal on Wednesdays at 8:30 a.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg at 10:30 p.m. on Tuesdays, on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, BC, on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and Saturdays at 7 a.m. on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto at 5:30 a.m. on Fridays, and on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio, and we are also a podcast. Look us up on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Just search Free City Radio. And please tell a friend. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I will speak to you soon. Take care.
Radio.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.
My name is Viv. I go by Viv here because my Chinese name is like more complicated for like the language, and usually like people don't really know how to pronounce it, and even I don't know how to pronounce it in English or French. I just know it in Cantonese. So yeah. My mom gave me like Vivian the name since I was like a little kid, because in China, well, where I'm from, Guangdong, like the city, we have English classes, and so usually we have like teachers coming from like United States or Canada, like, and to teach kids English. And so to kind of like make their lives easier, we all have like an English name, like all the kids. I go by Viv here, and I'm currently playing in several projects. There's this one that's like, we actually just found a name for our project like 4 days ago, because we were like, okay, we're doing shows, like people are asking us like if we have like really